American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
This is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Tuesday, August 2nd, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your daily report as while counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny, and we are winning that war. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal currently by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. So, we're right off the top. Let's get into the day. How is everybody doing this fine Tuesday? Going to take a second here on the show and just address everyone out there in the world. Currently, my time at the time of this recording is 12:36 in the p.m. on Monday when I'm actually recording this show. And we just recorded the other day's show, so to Monday's show, of course, has now gone out. And people are starting to realize that I'm not going to be reading out the names at the end of the show. And I have not yet the moment to receive what I anticipate to be a massive glut of email complaining for me to be a sellout. That's what I'm anticipating. I'm sort of geared back because I go for worst case scenario every time I do everything. You know, it's kind of a negative outlook on life, but it's true. It's what I do. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for this huge ocean to come in. And I don't know when it's going to break and I don't know when it's going to show up. Maybe it won't show up. Maybe I am just being paranoid. Maybe that's the case. But I'll tell you, there's one thing what I would like to know, which is kind of funny, you know, for me to say, you know, that I'm not going to be reading out the names of the donators and stuff like that, and then ask this question immediately following that, which is, I wonder how many people listen to the show. You know, I wonder how many people are actually listening to the show. I'd like to know. I'd like to know if there's some way to know. I mean, I don't mean just, don't go to my live journal and post, yeah, I listen to the show. Do we know how big Newsreel is? Like, do we have any idea how big it is? Or do we know how not big it is or how small it is or whatever? Like, where is it? It'd be nice to know. Or would it be nice to know? Would we rather not know? What if I find out there's only 50 listeners? Well, it can't be 50 listeners. Sean, because you got 71 people downloading. What if there's 75 listeners? And my actual donator to listenership is huge. You know what I mean? Like, you don't really know. I know that we were getting like 3,000 a day off of one mirror like 2 months ago, but I don't know how many people are downloading the show now. And the way we run it, I mean, you know, the technical aspect of how the show is actually distributed, you know, and plus we've got you know, the guys who burn it, we have no way of tracking that. I mean, should I care? Should I even care how many people are listening to the show? I mean, these are questions which plague me in the darkness of my own mind. Especially when I'm supposed to be attending family functions and no one seems to understand that I broadcast to a few thousand people. But then I couldn't really pick out a number for how many people I'm broadcasting to. And hence, this question arises in my mind. If there's somebody out there who can work with Sam and talk to them, and it'd be neat to know how many people we're reaching or, you know, what's going on. Like, you know, where do we stand in the standings of all that? It'd be interesting to know. Maybe I should know. You know? Sitting here looking at myself going, maybe I shouldn't know. You know, maybe Sean, all that's going to do is either going to, because when you compare yourself to anybody, right, when you try to gauge where you are, one of two things is going to happen. Only one of two things. Either you're going to get really egomaniacal or you're going to get horribly depressed. Those are your two choices. Those are the only things that can happen if you compare yourself to other people. So, you know, I suppose I'm kind of a little bit grumpy about the whole notion of life in general sometimes, but whenever I feel that way, and I'm sure everyone out there gets that way sometimes themselves, but whenever that does happen, you've got to bear in mind that we are part of a unit. We are all one gigantic counterculture unit. We're all moving together. Everybody's being chewed through the shit right now. This is the documentation of the new depression. We all knew another depression was going to be coming. We all knew that there was going to be another Great Depression because, you know, the corporate political takeover and all the rest of it. So, yeah, things are going to get rough. We're going to have people living in cars and stuff like that. So we got to all cowboy the fuck up and make sure that we keep our wits about us so we can make it through this son of a bitch. That's the whole plan. Now, let's get into some feedback. You heard from me. Let's hear from somebody else. Dear Sean, on sharing Wi-Fi. Now, this was the idea I had the other day where I was talking about how, you know, what's the big deal? Leave your ports open. Who gives a shit, right? You know, let's just share the Wi-Fi. Give everybody free access. Screw the corporations. So this guy said this in here. On sharing Wi-Fi, I don't think there's anything wrong with sharing your internet access. So long as you make sure to keep your computer system safe. Well, yeah, obviously. You know, you're not going to wander around naked in the blueberry bush or blackberry bush or any berry bush. Matter of fact, you shouldn't wander around naked generally. If someone can connect to your network, they can possibly perform... They can possibly perform man-in-the-middle attacks and monitor your web access. Okay, that's true, yeah. With your computer's connections being forward through theirs, they could steal important credentials, such as when you connect to Rant Radio, which really suck if someone's to forward your client to a malicious server, which exploited your system, deleted important file system, yada, yada, yada. You could also prevent exploitation, or at least mitigate it through a division of your network. If we're going to have a public Wi-Fi network, I would have a second router slash firewall and filter out any connections from the west of the Wi-Fi network, which is true. I mean, all these points are there. Again, you know, keeping with the WOG way of worst case scenario, you know, got a plan for it. So, yeah, maybe, you know, and since routers are getting cheap and a lot of us, you know, we make sure our routers fall off the backs of trucks. You know, we just get acquire some routers. Why not just simply acquire another router and then set it up so you've got it going? You know, that's smart. You know, that way it's, you know, secure and you're helping your fellow WOG and all that good stuff out. It's good to see. It would be possible to monitor who uses your network to do what by setting a system up between the network and the modem which monitors the connection's packets. If you wanted, you could wait for them to connect before going out, finding them and telling them to go away before you report them to police, or you could just firewall off certain connection types. Personally, I just don't like Wi-Fi. That's true. There is a huge security risk there. And I don't mind wire running across the floor if it means stable and a secure connection to the ISP. Anyway. Well, and you know, there's a lot to be said for hardwiring. You know, the more I think about it, the more I'm kind of a big fan of hardwiring too. I mean, you know, really, you're getting better bandwidth. I mean, when the technology gets down, and I hope the technology does get down to the point where we can all have affordable fiber, you know, with like, what, 2-3 gigs a second until we start using, you know, multi-spectrum fiber transmissions where we're doing, what are they saying, like 36 gigs a second or 18 gigs a second or something like that. Just ridiculous transfer time. You know, just stupid. But until we have that, you know, it's kind of a nice time to be networking. You know, you got a lot of choices open to you right now. So, you know, when in doubt, I'd say go with a more secure medium. You know, granted, I do think people should, if you have the opportunity to provide Wi-Fi, just like if you have the opportunity to provide bandwidth to Rant Radio, right? We say, please give us bandwidth because we're Rant Radio and Rant Media and all that good stuff. And I'm still, you know, I'm old school, eh? I still have a hard time remembering to call it Rant Media because, you know, there's a lot of you out there listening right now where there was more of us in the studio than there was of you listening. You know, so it's like 5 or 6 guys out there who've been with us since day one, you know, and huge kudos. You know, even, you know, everybody and all the trials and drama and bullshit that has come down the pipe, it really is cool that everyone has been able to stick together, that Smokehouse is still out there, you know, Nickster's doing his thing, everybody's still rocking and rolling. It's a good time, you know. And we really, if that isn't a family and if that isn't a community, then I don't really know what is. But anyway, let's get past the sniffling good stuff. Let's just remember that if you want to help out your brother in the community, it's a good idea to be smart, but, you know, and you know, give away some Wi-Fi, you know, hack the system, all that good stuff, but be wise as well. You know, you want to be wise. You want to make sure that you have caution and you lock yourself down so you're not going to wind up, you know, providing too much temptation for some little noob script kitty cat. Okay. Dear Sean, I listen to the show just about daily at work, and since we're not allowed to keep MP3s on our computers, and our web access is filtered through my corporate net nanny system. Oh, look at that. Wow, the first, you know, arcologies are starting to go up. They have done nothing to block out any sort of streamed media feeds. Mwahaha. And we have Windows Media Player. Also, because you are the fucking man. That's why they're trying to stop me from getting inside your place and deploying my mental viruses all over the floor. Anyways, yesterday I heard you talking about nitrous oxide bubbles in the chocolate.
Yes.
Well, I thought I would put some of your fears to rest on the issue. Yes, but I have no idea that you could be a government plant. While nitrous oxide is certainly a narcotic, it is a very mild one. And I can tell you from personal experience, it takes at least a full balloon's worth of the gas to affect an average human being. But I am not average. I know the balloon's worth is not a very accurate measurement. Well, no, not really. It's pretty accurate because I know a balloon. You know, I think a balloon. You know, that's a fair amount. But it would be a lot more than you would find in a chocolate bar. In addition to deficiency, and in addition to that, Irowid, which may not be a very accurate surf. Actually, Irowid, the Vaults of Irowid, which is a website on psychonautics and pharmaceuticals and shit like that. Really good site to check out. And many other sources claim the only known side effect of nitrous oxide is a vitamin B12 deficiency. And only with regular use, meaning 10 to 20 full balloons worth a day. Nitrous oxide quickly breaks down in human beings, is virtually untraceable. Keep in mind that has been used for decades in disposable whipped cream dispenser cans, at least in the United States. To my admittedly imperfect knowledge, the only way nitrous oxide can harm you is if A, doing something stupid while under the influence, or B, getting caught actually doing it by the law in your area where it's legal, or C, doing very large amount of it regularly, or D, suffer oxygen deprivation from prolonged period of use of it without any oxygen source. Anyway, that's all. I just write and thought I'd let you know. And that's from Shadrack Tailroom. Well, Shadrack, as in Shadrack, Meshach, and Abednego, the three guys in the fiery furnace. Are you seriously? Oh, my God. Anyway, Shadrack Tailroom said that in. And you know what? Yeah, that may be true. But a vitamin B12 deficiency is something to look at. I mean, vitamin B12, I do believe, is the stress vitamin. Is it not? I could be wrong. I know it's one of the Bs. Could be B6. Vitamin knowledge lacking. Oh, well. But I do know that the Bs are really big in the brain matter category, and everybody out there should be taking a vitamin B supplement, as apparently so should I. Okay, moving into an opinion piece. Now, this is an important opinion piece here on this website that I found out about called whatreallyhappened.com. Now, when you go to whatreallyhappened.com, you'll find out it's got all your conspiracy stuff there, but there's a few important key things to note about this website. For one thing, it's a pre-9/11 page. That means that these guys were in this business before everything took a cosmic shit back in 2001. Now, when I've gone through their website and looked at their data, and their data looks to me to be pretty good. Everything they state, they're not as leading as Alex Jones is, because Alex Jones is pretty leading. He's a good guy. I like him a lot. But he will speculate a lot more. These guys just talk about what happened, what really occurred, what were the actions that occurred that were documented. And it is a brilliant, brilliant website. Everyone should go there and check it out, whatreallyhappened.com, because the truth is a beautiful thing. Now, the way to illustrate that is this thing about this guy getting shot, right? The guy in Britain there jumped over the railroad tracks, got himself all lit up like a Czechoslovakian Christmas tree. Now, apparently, it's come down the wire that a couple of the cops are, like, been transferred to non-firearms duty. One of them's under review on stress leave or something like that. So maybe they're trying to make it look like, oh, yeah, the cops really did screw up. You know, Sean, you're wrong. The cops really did screw up. Well, you know what? Again, no matter what anybody says, unless we have tape of the incident, we cannot damn the men involved. Okay, you don't know what happens because there's nothing on tape. Now, there's a lot of ideas stating, you know, why would you want, you know, cameras or not cameras or the surveillance station and all that kind of jazz. We are entering a very crazy time. So what I'm saying is that if there's a public building, that includes all government buildings, by the way, all government policy, all rooms where there's like a secretary and stuff like that, it should be under open surveillance. You should be able to log on to any website and see what's going on in what office where. Somebody starts taking files out of the filing cabinet, throwing them in their briefcase, you want to know why? You should be able to ask that question. Why? Because you work for the government, and therefore the government is employed totally by and for the... For and by? Or by and for? Well, they bought and paid for the public. But we'll just say that the government should be working openly with the public, and therefore with video records we would know the truth. Without that, video records, we have to rely on testimony and all this kind of jazz. But that can be manipulated, as we're seeing quite easily, because we don't even know the truth anymore about what's going on. It started off with a guy running with a backpack, and no one's being held accountable for lying. No one's being held accountable for the fact that they're now trying to draw our attention to this. Maybe this whole thing's a huge dupe. Maybe they created this conspiracy, you know, what really happened with the electrician, when we're all being drawn away from the actual event, which was the bombing. You know, you never really know. It's all just so much smoke and mirrors. I tell you, I swim around in this stuff, and it's hard to see the truth through all the bullshit. Even when you see it, you're guessing half the time. You know, it gets pretty murky out there. You're not too sure what the hell's going on. So that's one of the reasons why I'm really happy that we do have a site of this quality, something like What Really Happened. And check it out. Very cool website. Very, very slick. And, you know, if you were to, you'd only get stronger by checking the stuff out on that page. Now, let's sort yourself out. Got to sort yourself out here as well. You ready for this one? Okay, here we go. I've been listening slash watching your shows for quite a while now. I've been considering starting an internet talk show radio program on my own. Don't do it. It's an ambition I have ever, I had even before I knew of Rant Media. Again, don't do it. With that in mind, I've got a couple questions for you. Oh, Christ. I'm a bit weary of releasing media using my real name in light of safety security considerations. Well, my friend, if you're going to release media that you think is illegal or immoral or is generally bad, then don't release it because you'll go to fucking jail. But if you're going to do it, it doesn't matter if you use a pseudoname or not because they're going to eventually find out that that pseudoname is just a pseudoname and they'll come for you anyway. What security measures do you suggest I take if I release media using my real name? Well, it's nice if, you know, people don't start coming to your house. That's always good when you get famous. That's always good. But what I would suggest is don't release any media. Like, if you're talking about releasing copyrighted media, don't do it. Simple, don't do it. Because if you do it and you get caught, you're going to go, you know, you're going to get nailed. And quite here, quite clearly from your email here, you're not willing to do the time, so you're not going to do the crime. That is how that works. Number two, one of the things that have held me back in the past is time limitations. Yes, I struggle with this daily. I've often postponed beginning my radio shows because I'm afraid I wouldn't have time to update it on a regular basis. Yes, I realize this fear, being as I do this show 5 days a week. I have a number of other commitments I take up a majority of the time. However, independent media is something I feel strongly about and would like to make my own contribution to it. Well, in that case, give me your money, kiddo! No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. I was joking. Considering with your own experiences with Rant Media, what suggestions do you have with this kind of situation? Thanks for all the media. Keep up the good fight. Maverick. Okay, well, it's like this. Independent media is important. Okay, it is important. And if you're not able to make the time commitments right now because you're worried about things, then fix the things you're worried about. Fix the things you're actually concerned are going to get in the way. Get them out of the way and get them out of the way permanently so you don't have to factor for it. If you're going to do something, a heavy commitment like a daily radio show or something like that, you know, don't start with that. You know, ease into these things. If I was to start doing a daily internet radio show, I've been in the game 6 years, man, and it is a mofo doing a show every day by yourself for an hour. Okay, let me tell you, it's a bit of a trek, all right, to be able to, you know, reach out there and grab into your mind and just scream for an hour every day and not be a complete raving lunatic when you get on the bus. You know what I mean? It's a little bit wild. So I would advise that rather than doing a daily show or something like that, make it one day a week and make sure you let everybody know that this is what's happening on this day. Treat it like a martial arts class or a school or maybe another job. Treat it like, you know, I'm doing this program, and if you talk to people like it's a job and you allude that maybe you're making money, they'll take it seriously and then they'll just leave you alone, let you do your work, and everything will be fine. You know, but again, sometimes that doesn't work. And again, you know, it's a very helpful if you don't have a spouse. You know, or if you have a spouse, you want to explain to your spouse that that's going on. But it sounds to me like you don't have a spouse, kiddo. So, you know, it'll be a little bit difficult when you start getting into the dating game and stuff like that to keep going with the internet media. But if you can do it, you can do it. I mean, all power to it. But I would recommend trying to do something weekly. Maybe record a special here or there. Maybe try your hand at doing some, you know, talk to Sim. Talk to Smokey. See if you can put some shows together. Something like that. That's the idea. You know, and don't expect everyone to do it for you. Don't expect to have your hand held. Sometimes you're just going to have to get your mouth bloody and get out there and start screaming into a mic. You know, even if it just goes to a tape cassette and the only person who hears it is you, that will, in effect, make you better. Let's get into the news and nuke your money news. And this was sent to me by Nalo Surath, who's a very good guy. This is something from PrisonPlanet.com, which is one of the sister sites of Alex Jones, who's got a lot of really crazy stuff. Now, Alex is a great guy. I enjoy Alex a lot. He's about as right-wing psycho mudhut as you can possibly get, but he's still, you know, my enemy's enemy and therefore my friend. And I actually enjoy Alex Jones very, very much, and in no way should I ever, anything I ever be saying is taken as a slight towards Alex. Personally, I think he's a great guy. I really do. I admire the living hell out of the guy. And, you know, if I could have half the talent that that man has, you know, I would be a very happy human being. Now, some of the stuff that I don't agree with, that he's a very, very strong Christian, this guy. You know what I mean? He's pretty extreme in the Christian standpoint. And whenever he comes across stuff, he's the first guy to jump up and down and say, see, they're satanic. You know, they're following the satanic masses. And I guess maybe he's using that as a weapon to try to whip up all the, you know, the sheeple and the Christians and stuff like that, so that they can realize if they can get the Christians on board showing them that they're, you know, would-be leaders are actually insane and worshiping the devil, then, you know, he'll be able to bring down the system, which is a good ploy. You know, that's a very good ploy. Commendable. Totally commendable. I don't, unfortunately, I can't go with that, because I believe that once you start throwing the religion in it, it deviates from the truth. You know, and maybe the truth is that there is religion. You know, maybe there is a God. Somebody's right. You know, it's the Jews. The Jews are right. Oh, everybody else is wrong. Oh, shitty for us, right? Okay, well, whatever. Whatever the truth is, and we have to try to reveal that. Now, some of the stuff, so anybody who's worried that, you know, I might be getting a little bit too Alex Jonesy or stuff like that, don't worry, I'm not going to start talking about devil worship unless I honestly believe there is devil worship. Now, that said, some of the stuff Alex has got from some of these Bohemian Grove stuff, I mean, if these guys are worshiping the devil, then they're crazy. You know, it's entirely possible that the people in government are, in fact, putting on goat's heads, dancing around naked, and having orgies. That's possible, I suppose. Can't really envision Condoleezza Rice at an institution like that. You know, I could see that. She seems like a pretty cat, classy lady. You know, I couldn't see her doing it. George Bush hanging a rat with a goat's head on. Couldn't imagine it. Possible, I suppose. But we'll see, you know. We'll have to see. But Alex says, he found this here on Nuke Your Money News. Now, this is from Prison Planet. I want to share an event with you that we experienced this evening. Dave had over $1,000 in his back pocket, in his wallet. New 20s that were the lion's share of the bills in his wallet. We walked to a truck stop, Travel Plaza, where we have one of those new electronic monitors that's supposed to say if you're stealing something. But as he walked through every monitor, Dave apparently set it off. He didn't have anything to purchase in his hands or his pockets. After numerous times of setting off these monitors, a person approached Dave with a wand to swipe by he was setting off the monitors. Believe it or not, it was his wallet, according to the minimum wage employees working at the truck stop. When we walked across the street to the store to purchase aluminum foil, then we wrapped the cash in foil and went through the same monitors. No monitor went off. Well, isn't that interesting? We could have left it at that, but we also paid attention to the European Union and the RFID traffic tracking devices they placed in their money in the European Union, and the blatant bragging of Walmart that many corporations of using this RFID electronics on every marketable item by the year 2005. Interesting. Dave and I had brainstormed that, in fact, most items can be microwaved to fry the RFID chip, thus eliminating tracking by our government. So we chose to microwave our cash, over $1,000 in 20s in a stack, and not spread it out on a carousel. Do you know what happened to the American money? The right eye of Andrew Traction, Andrew Jackson on the new 20 on every bill on uniform is burning. Now, isn't that interesting? So they're saying here that they're putting RFID tags in cash to track it. Now, I don't know enough about this to claim that maybe this is correct. Maybe there's just got a specific type of foil that they'll sew in. Maybe there's metallic ink that's used there, and when the microwave hits it, it's in that region and it burns out. I'd like other people, because I don't live in America, so I don't know, but I'd like to know if anybody else knows anything about this. If you do, newsreel@ranradio.com. I'd like to know about it. Now, in pharma fascist mind control news, now this is sent in by No Delete, and this is just, you know, unbelievable to me. Now, you know, science has got to be one of the great unbelievable, you know, this I don't know what to say about this story. Okay, let me just get through it, and you tell me, okay? A common blood pressure drug could help people who have witnessed traumatic events, such as the London bombings, to block out their distressing memories. Okay, a blood pressure drug affects your memories. Cornell University psychiatrists are carrying out tests using beta blockers, the journal Nature reports. The drug has been shown to interfere with the way the brain stores memories. Memory erasing. Okay? Drugs. Post-traumatic stress disorder affects around 1 in 3 people caught up in such an event. And memories can be triggered by just a sound or a smell. So bad memories, flashbacks, all that good stuff. People with PTSD are given counseling, but it is not always effective. Researchers have been looking for alternative therapies. Aha. People with post-traumatic stress disorder are given counseling. You don't give somebody counseling. You just talk to them. However, never mind. I won't go into that. However, there are concerns that the drugs, which can alter memories, could be misused. Don't you think? Perhaps by the military, who may want to make soldiers become desensitized to violence. That's a myth, actually. What you do is they become desensitized, but violence, witnessing violence, actually does damage to you. There's a great documentary that anyone wants to check out. They should definitely check this out. If you want to see what post-traumatic stress disorder managed perfectly does to a human being who can function but has seen horror, what horror does to a human being, you need to check out a documentary called The War Photographer. And it's about a war photographer who goes around and takes photos. And it's a very depressing documentary because it shows you all the horrors that's going on in the world. But the guy who the documentary is actually about, I mean, you really get a perspective of what war does to a human being, even though this guy is not a soldier, you wouldn't think. You know, I mean, he's not involved in the combat. He's just taking pictures. That's all he's doing. He's just taking pictures. And it'll keep your attention, I'll tell you that. However, you know, the beta blocker is called propranolol, has been found to block the neurotransmitters involved with laying down memories. Oh, isn't that nice? Studies have also shown that rats who have learned to fear a tone followed by electric shock lose the fear if propranolol is administered after the tone starts. Isn't that amazing? The Cornell University team are reporting a similar results in early studies in Human Nature Reports. Margaret Altimus, who's one of the psychiatrists working on the study, told the journal, "The memory of an event is associated with fear, and they always occur together." Ah! If the researchers plan to recruit 60 patients in a clinical trial where participants will be taken a dose of propranolol, where they experience symptoms of PTSD, such as increased heart rate or breathing difficulties. But so far, only one person has volunteered to take part. You know, and then it goes on from there where it says, "It's a serious illness. I hope somebody volunteers so we can find out how to put a drug out there and get some ideas out in the public." Because, you know, we know about Rohypnol, right? We know that's the big date rate drug. That fries your brain. So what they want is they don't want anything that gets you high. They just want stuff that gets you so that you can't remember. And then they'll start dosing the water with it and so on and so forth. I mean, yeah, this can be misused. Is there any way it can be used? Well, never mind misused. If a guy sees something horrific, you don't want to erase the memory. That's not the point here, okay? The point is to live with and understand the horrific thing that you saw, not to erase it. That's the, well, what are you doing? That's not reality. That's not real. That's not the truth. The truth is what happened. And if you start trying to alter the truth by drugging everyone, what the hell is that? Now, in terrorist server news, now this is brought in by Dark Nature. This is another trend that's been huge in the news lately. You'll be seeing this all over the place. People are going off trying to tie the internet to terrorism. That's their big tie in there. They want that. They want the internet terrorism crossover. You know, gotta have terrorism on the internet. That's why, you know, if there's a terrorist internet, we can lock down the internet too, and no one has freedom of communication. That's the spin. Listen to this story here. Al-Qaeda is now a global brand driven by the power of the World Wide Web. Media-savvy cyber jihadists are manipulating the internet for training, recruitment, and propaganda, according to the first of a three-part series on the new Al-Qaeda broadcast Monday, the 25th of July on BBC Two. The internet, says program maker Peter Taylor, has given it wings. These apparent bombshells, however, appear to be based on a number of unremarkable discoveries, such as terrorists have computers and that cheap video cameras allow them to film attacks and executions and distribute the results via the internet. And that's the stuff on the internet you might not like, but can't necessarily get much of a lid on. Now, this is absolutely the truth, okay? I talked about this show coming out before, that they were going to be trying to spin it out there. I called it before it aired that they were going to be saying, "Oh, yeah, you know, the internet is all going to be censorship. Got to censor it because look at these terrorists." And sure as shit, that's what they're doing in England. They're trying to vilify the snot out of it. It goes on the article here. The guy here seems to be playing middle of the road. Actually, the tagline's pretty unremarkable as well because Al-Qaeda is a global brand, and the brand is indeed driven by the power of the internet, among other things. But Taylor's sensationalized focus on the internet obscures the truth that Al-Qaeda has other lines of business we should probably be a little bit more concerned about, and it's determining to find Al-Qaeda connections to bit players merely a constructs an electronic version of the simplistic analysis of the Al-Qaeda as hierarchical controlling organization. The reality is a lot more complex and a dangerous one at that. Even The U.S. administration is beginning to talk of the threat as Islamist extremism is not just Al-Qaeda. Now, that's again true. So you see that not everyone is completely sold out in the media. Not everyone is you know, throwing their hands in the air and saying, no, it's not all crap. They're trying to vilify the internet, and they're starting to do it in London. You can bank they're going to start to do it again here. Maybe after the next major strike. You know, whatever the next major strike's going to be, because they're going to do another one. You know, they got to keep the people off balance, got to keep them off of, the whole sort of, you know, what's really going on. Can't let them think. You know, you got to keep them rocking. So pretty soon, I guess, there's going to be another one. It'll be a big one, too. It'll be a good one. Probably, you know, a nuke, or it'll be rumored to be a nuke, or maybe a dirty bomb. It'll be technically a nuke, but not really a nuke, or something like that. And they will kill, you know, a few thousand people, maybe, or maybe not that many. But the fact it'll be a nuke will get rid of the fact that nobody died. You know, it'll be very strategically placed, all the rest of it. Nothing really critical to the infrastructure of the country will be killed. Just a lot of, you know, innocent people. They'll die. You know, that'll be what'll happen. And after that, well, all bets are off then. Now we're locking the internet down. Everything's gone insane and, you know, set up the wire. Speaking of which, setting up the wire, we have corporate-political censorship news happening here, and this was sent to me by Sabo. A security expert has agreed to never repeat that which he knows about flaws in the software from a networking giant, Cisco. Again, the truth is, this software has flaws, but he can't talk about it. The hardware maker sought an injunction against Michael Lynn to stop him from revealing details at a security conference in Las Vegas. That would be DEF CON. Mr. Lynn resigned from his job to give the presentation, but bowed to legal pressure afterwards. Holy shit! Cisco said Mr. Lynn's research was premature and the information would be presented at a later date. Uh-huh. Mr. Lynn presented research about bugs in software used under Cisco routers at the Black Hat Briefings Conference held in Las Vegas. On the 27th of July. Oh, they didn't want to actually say, routers at the Black Hat Briefings Conference, not DEF CON. I guess it is actually the Black Hat Briefings and the 27th of July. Although the bug that Mr. Lynn talked about was patched in April, he said the technique used to exploit the loophole could be used to take advantage of other vulnerabilities in Cisco software that directs data over the internet. Mr. Lynn found out about the Cisco bugs while working at the computer security consultant's Internet Security Systems, a job he left only hours before he presented the information to the conference. Wow. He said it was important to get information about the bugs into the public domain, which it is. Cisco did not agree and won an injunction that bars Mr. Lynn and organizers of the backup conference from ever talking about what they know. Mr. Lynn has to return any Cisco source code he owns. Cisco took a lot of trouble to ensure that the conference attendees did not find out about what Mr. Lynn was planning to say, and employed workers to tear pages reprinting Mr. Lynn's presentation from conference proceedings. It also replaced CDs containing conference presentations with the ones without Mr. Lynn's talk. Holy shit! What did he say? You know, that is unbelievable to me how incredible. Like, what a lockdown. Can you believe that? That should be front page stuff. They just walked in there. Total shadow run. Total shadow run core political smackdown going on there. And locked this guy up. Unbelievable that has happened. You know, but that's America for you. I guess there goes your freedom. That's gone. No more freedom for you. Now, keeping with that theme and data burning news, the U.S. Department of Justice. Now, you ready for this one? Here's yet more books being burned. Of course, we don't actually have to burn books anymore because we're trying to get rid of books, and now it's just a matter of hitting two keys and the whole, you know, all that knowledge is lost forever, eternally erased. So, the U.S. Department of Justice has come under fire for posting an Al-Qaeda training manual on its website, which apparently the guy who sent me this has, I don't want to actually give his name because he sends me a lot of stuff. But the thing is that, wow, man, you know, how crazy everyone's getting is just getting out of control. I mean, this manual is nothing more than a bunch of, Islamic mud hut bullshit, you know, running around talking about God and stuff like that. And then they give some tips. But they're trying, this is yet another attempt to try to vilify information and vilify the distribution of information, okay? The U.S. Department of Justice has come under fire for posting an Al-Qaeda training manual on its website. A guide found during a raid in Manchester, England, was used as evidence in an embassy bombing trial in New York earlier this year. A group of London politicians has written the U.S. ambassador to Britain demanding the guide be withdrawn. But an official told the BBC the U.S. public had a right to see the manual and that key sections had been edited. A member of the London Assembly Conservatives stumbled upon the content of the site while doing research in the wake of the London bombings. Richard Barnes, Conservative spokesman on policing and resilience, said he was horrified and the Justice Department was promoting full instructions on how to be an urban terrorist. I hope the U.S. government will see sense and remove this immediately. We need to do everything we can to make London safe. We need to do everything we can. Now that's the kind of like insanity. That's an insane statement. We need to do everything we can to make London safe. Everything. If that means locking everyone in their rooms and making sure they got cameras watching them sleep, that's what we need to do. No, why don't you just arm your people? The manual includes advice on how to go undetected in crowded public transport, how to communicate and avoid detection by security services, and how to transport weapons and stop deterioration of explosives. Again, you know, all of this could be stopped if you just sold more guns. If you just, you know, took away weapon restrictions and just let average everyday people have guns, it'll probably get exciting for the first 6 months and then everything goes mellow right out. I hope the U.S. government will see sense and remove this immediately. We need to do everything we can to make London safe. That's unbelievable. The manual includes advice on how to go undetected, but a British Justice Department official says parts of the manual has been withheld because of the JD does not want to aid in educating terrorists or encourage further acts of terrorism. So, you know, apparently moving around undetected is now terrorist. If you try to avoid cameras, oh, that's terrorism. He told the BBC that the U.S. public had a right to know how these groups operate and some of the methods they use. Some of the methods. You want to watch for them. The document was freely available on the internet and is a piece of evidence in the U.S. trial through the court system. We have no intention of taking it down, he added, although if we receive requests from the British government, we would obviously reevaluate the situation. Well, yeah, I, of course, got a link to the PDF on the Live Journal, so go check it out and download it and read it for yourself. Make your own conclusions, you know, but it doesn't really look super-duper out of control to me. Further to that, you know, all the information that's in that book, you can find in other places. As a matter of fact, law enforcement, you know, Paladin Press, a lot of these kind of places that have been selling, you know, controversial knowledge books for a long time, these guys are out there. So, you know, why not check it out? Why not get the information early so that you can, you know what's going on? I don't believe you should destroy knowledge because it's dangerous. I just think you need to teach more people it. That's my stance on the whole thing. Now, in the RFID chip news, now, I talked about the money. Okay, but wait, it's getting smaller again as well. That one with the cash is a little bit older, but this story here is a little bit more current, sent to me by Out of Control. VeriChip Corporation, a company that is pioneering the use of radio frequency identification for people tracking, will later today introduce a new range of access control security systems that can detect RFID tags that are either worn as a wrist or ankle band or injected under the skin. Mm-hmm. So that's going in our watches now. We're going to put it in jewelry. VeriChip is a subsidiary of Apple Applied Digital Solutions Incorporated, which in December 2004 received formal approval from the FDA for permission to market its under-the-skin RFID devices in medical applications. Medical applications. So that could be anything from right down to prescription glasses. Since then, it has bolstered its healthcare capabilities with the acquisition of the Instantel and healthcare division Xmark, a company that specializes infant protection, wonder prevention, and asset tracking solutions based on separate non-implantable RFID technologies. These are usually tamper-proof and secured around the wrist or an ankle. Holy lab rat Batman! Out of the size of a pinpoint... Okay, all about the size of a pinpoint, the injectable VeriChip system is being touted as the world's first subdermal microchip designed for human use in security, financial, emergency identification, and healthcare applications. Oh, hell, everybody, any business would want to have your guy, you know, sign here, get a needle, and you work for the company. Each VeriChip can be inserted in just a few minutes in the arm. It contains a unique verification number that can be captured using a scanner over the VeriChip. The chip has a special polyethylene sheath that helps the skin bond to it so it stays in place. It has no battery, and it has to have an expected lifespan of 20 years. The very chip produced product started with an idea of electronic dog tags for military and emergency services personnel. Yes, back in the day, they were talking about burrowing them into the molars. It has been suggested that eventually VeriChip could replace credit cards and other forms of identification, with the advantage that, like their plastic equivalents, they're almost impossible to lose. But for the near term, the company is promoting VeriChip as a means of identification in a variety of applications, including building access, military, and government security. So we'll start with convicts. You know, we got to track the pedophiles. Then we'll track the terrorists. Now we'll track the cops who work with the terrorists. Then we got to track the security guards who work and assist the cops. And then, of course, the security guards got to be able to make sure we have ID on you. So pretty soon they're going to be showing up to give you the needle. You know what I mean? Of course, you'll have the choice. You'll have the choice. You'll just have to make sure you carry all your documentation with you all the time. And it'll be a real pain in the ass. But, you know, you'll be able to get around it. Now, in booster news, this was sent to me by Deadco. Now, I don't know what to make of this story because I'm always a little bit suspicious of new and improved drug treatments that have come out on the market. That always kind of freaks me out. But let's get through it and see what you think. A collaborative research team from the Uniformed Services University of Health Sciences, the Australian Animal Health Laboratory, and the National Cancer Institute have made a major breakthrough in efforts to combat two deadly viruses that could be engineered for use as bioweapons. So, could be engineered. So, I guess they are being engineered, otherwise why would they be fighting against them? The team isolated the functional receptors for the Nipah and Hendra viruses, naturally occurring in the highly pathogenic paramyxial viruses, for which no treatments or vaccines are currently available. Okay, I've never heard of these paramyxial viruses. That's what I'm going to call them, paramyxioviruses. So apparently, I've never heard of these paramyxioviruses, but they seem to be pretty bad bastards, according to these guys. Chris Border, PhD, associate professor of USU's Department of Microbiology, and his NIH-funded team of researchers and investigators demonstrated that a cell surface protein called an efrin B2 is a functional receptor for both the Hendra and Nipah viruses. Many animal species are vulnerable to these viruses, making the potential for amplification into immediate hosts and transmission greater. Efrin B2 is a highly conserved in animals, and this finding sheds light on how viruses can infect such a wide range of hosts. So he's going on, blah, 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 blah. Now, what he seems to think is that this information will be able to come up with a brand new vaccine. That's the whole idea here, is we're going to have a brand new vaccine for these paramyxoviruses that'll be able to, you know, we'll be able to, you know, thwart them. And then gradually this will lead to more and more vaccination shots for everybody, you know. And on the previous story, I just mentioned how, you know, these very chips can get implanted under the skin. Now, I'm going to tell you a funny story here. The other day, I went with Maverick, not the Maverick I just mentioned before, another Maverick, and we went down and we bought a laptop. Now, they wanted my help, and this was on one of my days off, so I went down to help them get a laptop. Now, when I went in there, I went into the evil of evil, Best Buy, because that's where they wanted to buy their laptop from. I didn't have the time. I had about an hour to try to help these people, so I did. Now, I went in there, and the drill that it's been a long time since this sorry son of a bitch has walked through one of those Best Buy, Future Shop, Circuit City stores, but these guys, like, man, they were like wolves. They were all around me, you know? They got me three different times. First, when I walked up, the guy pulled out the clipboard, comes up, tries to ask me what my desires are. What do I need? So he's got all my information down there to sell me as much as he possibly can. Nice guy. Then he tried to sell me, you know, an extended services package, which was $400 in order for an additional 3 years of insurance. And I told him to cram it up his ass because I thought that was bunk, but I saw how he was making money. Then a supervisor comes over, tries to get involved, and I have to tell the supervisor that none of my points are up for discussion. You're here to provide a service. Sell me the goddamn laptop. So that's fine. I get the laptop. I have to be an asshole, but it's a problem. So I get up to the countertop there, and then around the side comes another guy. And he's going to start talking to me about my software. Well, what are you doing on the software with this computer? Well, what the fuck is it to you? Of course, I don't want to be ignorant because, you know, I'm there with Maverick. So I say, well, you know, why do you want to know? Well, because you see, there's a lot of software that isn't going to be... So they're trying to sell me software at the till now. Actually, I'm not even at the till. We're at where we're unloading the laptop from. And I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe they're doing this. They're trying to sell me Norton. I can't believe this. Okay, fine. So I said, well, you know what, buddy? I work for a big company, and we have a licensing structure. So all I'm going to do is take it back to the office, and we'll install all the software based on the licenses my company currently owns. Thanks for coming out. Oh, they said. And that shut them up. So they're like, okay. And then the tech comes out. Now, the tech, of course, I've got a bit of a kinship with techs. He smelled the booze. So we went to the back there, and me and him had a little talk. And I'm like, how's it going, Chief? And he's like, oh, man, this place sucks. And I'm like, I hear you. So we start talking. I asked him about the laptop. He told me that, you know, yeah, it's generally not too bad. They seem to last pretty good. If there's any problems, bring it back. We'll give you a new one. You know, that's the policy. Nobody's making shit. Everything's very, very cool. Now, of course, Best Buy owns Future Shop, and Future Shop, you know, all the money goes into one piggy bank, but they still keep both stores open to keep the illusion of choice. Isn't that amazing? But anyway, so we get out of there, and I'm here to tell you, the way they make their money is with add-on sales. They try to get you with the add-on sales, getting shit you can't, you just don't need. So they try to, you know, cram it into you, and they really hawk in. Now, imagine you go to get a vaccination, and while they're there, say, do you want this? And you're already frazzled because you're getting a needle anyway. You're freaked out by all the news and, you know, going around. You're saying, oh, my God, there's all this stuff happening. And they say, would you like to have a Veri chip, too? It's free. Normally, it costs $200. But right now, you can get it for free as part of a partnership program with this vaccination because you wouldn't want to get killed by biotoxins or bioterrorism, would you? So we'll just, you know, inoculate you and give you the Veri chip. Oh, you got the Veri chip by mistake. Well, the data's still good. So, you know, we can extract that. You can just schedule that for extraction whenever you want. But it'll be a real hassle and we'll reschedule, la, la, la. You see how that's going to work? That's how they're going to get it into you. Now, in CyberCop news, now this is out of control. Of course, London's really stepping over the barriers now. This was sent to me by Thunderspot. A European company security group is lobbying the UK government to employ IT professionals as special constables to hunt down cyber criminals. Okay, so can you smell somebody trying to set up like a private net mercenary force? The IT professionals could soon be asked to volunteer their services to police the internet. The European Information Security Group, EURIM, is calling on the government to employ the services of IT workers as special constables. The request has apparently been welcomed by the Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, Sir John Stevens. Yeah, I'm sure he didn't have any prior notice of that. I think we should be using special constables, said Chairman of EURIM, Brian White, MP. IT managers could be given special powers if they were trained. In evidence gathering, they could report straight to the Crown Prosecution Service. They could secure crime scenes and give records to the court, for example. That way you could be like a digital CSI. You could just rat out anyone. The recommendations follow findings earlier this year that only about 240 people were qualified in working in digital forensics, the evidence recovery. EURIM is proposing to decrease the number of skilled police officers patrolling the cyber world. Isn't that interesting? So I guess, you know, MI5 is going to be expanding just a little bit. EURIM also proposed that some of the barriers becoming a special constable should be removed, especially for IT specialists. So, you know, we'll make it easy for them to become constables. One of the things you need to be to join the special constables is physically fit, said Philip Bargo, Secretary General of EURIM. There would probably be lots and lots of people who could monitor internet chat rooms and who could police the town on a Friday night. There's lots of boundaries to this that don't need to be there. So let's just recruit from the IT field to make cops. And that way the cops, when they're at home, they can be doing policing at home and policing out. We could have totally independent mercenary police officers who work a part of another union and they could just, you know, wander around, kind of like the Blade Runners, you know? If you're a hacker, you got a special sysop, he shows up and shoots you. That'd be cool, right? Currently, the Metropolitan Police Computer Crime Unit has 11 officers. So, you know, they're probably a little bit overworked, I'll give them that. But creating, you know, a massive fervor of giving geeks guns and stuff like that and trying to exploit people, I don't know if I really agree with that so much. Just me, though. Daily Hacks today, 29 healthiest foods on the planet. Thank you very much. Very, very cool. And these are, like, if you're going to go shopping, you don't want to screw around, you don't want to read a book, here's 29 different pieces of fruits, grains, and vegetables that you can buy. Bulk up on these, get them in India, they're good for you. And as well, we got No Cat Off. Hey, Sean, this is concerning Thursday's segment on an open wireless networks. For a while, I also wanted my open wireless network so people around my house with no internet connection could have free wireless access. However, like you said, there are many potential problems when doing this. I started looking around for some app that would let me keep my home computers and the internet access separate. Of course, this could be done with expensive routers, but since I'm a starving student with no cash, I thought it would be best to go with NoCat. These guys have developed NoCat authorization. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, But this is a captive portal app that basically lets you have an open wireless network that lets you have complete control over the traffic that goes through it. You can set restrictions on ports and bandwidth, time limits, authentication accounts, and lets you set privilege levels. It acts much like the software used in schools, but since it's designed for a wireless, there's very little malicious hackers can do to go around it. I haven't figured out how to do it, but it also logs user info and places they visit. Sounds a bit Big Brother-ish? Well, I would never even look at the info unless I was slapped with a letter from the MPAA in order to prove it wasn't me. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's your router, so you got to know what's going on with your kid. All of this is explained to the user when they log in on the network through this splash page, kind of like what they use at the Starbucks WAX. I'm still learning all the functions, but I think this is something the WAGs can use to share their Wi-Fi and keep their own boxes secured at the same time. Well, thank you so much, buddy. That's awesome. And full credits to you on my website. As well, another Microsurf tool, thanks to No Deal, the Merciful. Now, that Wi-Fi app, I want to check that out. Who sent me that one? That was from Cryptomancer. I'm sorry. And the first one there with the foods was from Nalo Surith. So it's Nalo Surith, Cryptomancer, and No Delete, the Merciful, for his another wonderful link on how to get around things for Microsurfs. Microsurfs are those of us who are still imprisoned by the Microsoft software. And I, unfortunately, am one of those people. But one day, I will charge the wire and I will make the leap to Linux. Yes, in fact, I will. It's just a matter of time. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. The Rant Media Newsreel Psych Ward currently has 71 residents with 5 new residents who just showed up. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab, because believe you me, every little bit helps in this crazy world we live in. Special thanks to all the Netrunners who provided me with data and are in communication with me on a daily basis. You guys, I swear to God, you really do keep me going. Thanks again for everyone. Your assistance gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information, please, or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's NEWSREAL at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Ray Lynch. Oh, wrong album cover, buddy. Not so good. Not the one by Ray Lynch, but he did an album called Deep Breakfast, which is really, really good. I changed that because it was a little bit too ambient. No, you want to check out an album by Battery Cage called Worldwide Wasteland. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.